And welcome to the porch here on Firefall Talk Radio. I'm Richard Grund. Broadcasting from the Firefall Studio, the only place you can hear us live is on Spreaker.com. You can still catch us archived on the Blog Talk website as well as iTunes and iHeartRadio. So welcome to all our listeners. This is where we get back to basics, the red letter basics of the Word of God. And we take a look at the Book of Acts Church as our example and we try to follow it. We have been here to take a deeper look at how the early church served the Lord. If you want your ears tickled, if you want a watered-down gospel, this is not the place and I'm not your guy. No, we're going to restore the priesthood of the believer and that world-shaking influence the early church had. And to do that, we need to take a look at the Word as it was written, as it was intended, and apply it. Church age is still in effect. It's not over. The fire still falls. The day of Pentecost is ongoing. The Porch is an outreach. Solomon's Porch Inc. Go to onsolomonsport.org to contact us. Or you can go to firefalltalkradio.com. Contact us there. There's also ways to support us. Make sure you bookmark the main site here on Firefall Talk Radio. That way you'll know when I post new podcasts and new shows, which I will be doing without warning. There will be another Overwatch coming very soon. Starting out with praise reports and prayer requests. Well, as always, I praise the Lord for my home, for my wife, for my family, my sons and daughters-in-law, and for my grandson, JJ, who is a blessing in our life, and our furry kids, who are a blessing and a frustration at times, but they're blessings mostly, and for all the possessions and things the Lord has given us. I praise him for his protection over us, for this ministry that he lets me work. It'll always be his ministry. My name will never be on it. I praise him for the dreams and the visions and everything that he has shared with us and what he is sharing with me about where we are now and where we are going. I praise him for his healing virtues and that we can praise him. We live in a country that still allows it. There's nobody kicking down our doors to stop us or cut us off the air. So let's enjoy it. Let's do it. Let's start out each day praising him and thanking him for being a new creation, for living in the times that we live. Let's praise him for the country that we live in. Yes, there are things that are wrong, and there's a lot about it that I don't think he intended, but we have the freedom and the blessings to live in America. I praise him for the signs and the things that he's showing us that he's getting ready to return. I wish I had a date. I wish when he showed me these dreams and vision, there was a little time code at the bottom so I'd know what date it was, but he doesn't do that. So I keep an eye on the sky and an eye on the job, and I live a life of expectancy. I also live a life of prayer. I pray for Israel. I pray for Jerusalem. I pray for the peace of Jerusalem, which means I pray for the Prince of Peace to return. I pray for the fatherless and the widows, the innocents, both in and out of the womb, the victims of injustice, for our brothers and sisters around the world being slaughtered and persecuted for their faith. In case you don't know it, religious persecution and anti-Semitism is on the rise, and that would make sense with the coming appearance of the Son of Perdition, the Man of Lawlessness, the one who will bring in the final ticks of the clock. You would expect that the persecution of Jews and Gentiles who believe in Yeshua, Jesus, would increase. I pray for divine wholeness, health, and healing in all of us and all of you. Praying for my right knee to finally be healed. There's still some struggles going on there. You know what? I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep pressing on and keep believing no matter what. Recent trip to the dentist has revealed that somehow, right underneath the crown, a cavity has formed, and they're going to have to cut it out and put a new one in. So I'm praying for healing and also for the financial blessings to take care of it. I pray for my wife and my family and all of you to get back to our divine design. The days ahead are going to be difficult. I am not going to tickle your ears and tell you they're not. But I am praying, as I did today with my brother Larry and as I did the other day with Pastor Shelley, that we would be in a place mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, and even financially to run and not grow weary, to walk and not faint, to rise up with wings as eagles above the storm to do what we need to do in these times. I pray that we would have the faith, the measure of faith needed to press on and to pray for others, to be an inspiration for others. Praying for the remnant to wake up, rise up, and answer the call to action. If you are a part of that and you haven't answered the call, maybe tonight's the time you do it. Maybe tonight's the time you say, Lord, send me. If you've been blessed, then be a blessing. It is needed. I pray that we would each prosper in accordance with his words and that the conduits of his blessings would flow. I'm asking for prayer for the documentary, The Deep Darkness. It has taken a positive turn. Some new information and interviews and connections have been made that are very exciting. But it also means that the trip back to Atchison, Kansas, for additional footage will take on more importance and probably last a little longer. So I'm praising the Lord for that, and prayer for the covering over each and every one of us involved, and for an influx of new funds to cover the added expenses that this positive outcome has created. Please keep Pastor Shelley in your prayers. He's having some health issues, and that's why we talk pretty regularly now, praying together almost every time. So pray for him. Also pray for Ann Graham Lotz, Billy Graham's daughter. She is in a battle with cancer and may have to discontinue the chemotherapy because of the side effects that she is having. Nick in Dallas, if you remember last week, I mentioned his father had gone into the hospital. He apologized for not getting us the update quicker. He's home. They got him home in time for Thanksgiving. He has been under the weather with a sinus infection and seems to be the norm these days, getting better. He's also said his dad has a hernia that is giving him problems and has an appointment with the surgeon for surgery, so he's praying for a quick appointment and a successful surgery. Stacy in Texas. She starts out her message to me saying there are no cartoons in the Greer house today. Cartoons have been turned off and the praise and worship music has been turned on. She said it's become abundantly clear my family is under attack, so please pray for us. Pray against the roots of bitterness and false teachers. Apparently she keeps confronting or being confronted by false teachers, New Age groups. And folks, we live in a fallen world. The enemy's been very active, probably more so than the church. Turn on the television, go to the movies, you get on the internet. False information and false religions are being promoted left and right, and she's become frustrated by the enemy, what the people are doing. She said she's weary and she's tired, but she thanks God for this ministry every day and for like-minded believers in her life. She's praying we all stay strong and endure in the name above all names, Jesus the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. Her God, my God, my Father, she says, she also points out something here I know many of us are feeling. She's tired. She's angry about how many are lost and deceived and hurting. She's praying for the Father to give her strength and the wisdom to fight back and to be a part of the solution. Pray for a friend, Barbara. She has a horse named Bandolero, great name, who has fractured his leg and is going into surgery. Kim in Fort Mitchell says, I'm well and thankful for the gift of sobriety and her, of course, of salvation. Gratitude for her children and all that the Lord provides for them. Feels blessed to have this ministry for a friend, Stacy. Father, an opportunity opened up. Please make it go away if it's not your will and give me the courage to go for it if it is. We're going through dark times. The attacks are getting stronger and seem to come back to back. Protect us and give us strength. Protect our families, pets, and possessions. Give us patience, compassion for each other. We never take for granted the price our Savior paid so that we could be free. Bless us and favor us in Yeshua's name. Father, you know this. You warned us, Lord. You warned us that perilous times would come. You warned us of what the world would be like before you returned. And we are there, and many are ignoring it. They are blind to it. They don't want to hear it. They have their heads in the sand, but we don't. We have our heads up towards you. So first of all, we praise you. We acknowledge that you are the great I am. You are our Abba Father, and we love you, and we thank you, and we praise you and worship you. We ask you to touch us right now from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet, to heal us heart, mind, body, soul, and spirit, to bless us. We cleanse our minds. We clear every thought. We set our sights on you. We want to hear what you have to say, Father. We want to know what you want us to know. But most of all, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for Yeshua. We thank you for the blood. We thank you for freedom and salvation. Lord, we thank you for what you endured. We thank you for what you did, what you're doing, what you're going to do and coming back. We long to see you face to face. We long for the freedom that your return brings. We keep our eyes up towards you, but our hearts set on the job to go, to do, to set the captives free, to preach the good news. So help us. Help us to do that, Holy Spirit. Walk with us, guide us, remind us of what was said, empower us, teach us, and encourage us. We just thank you. Bless this time. Bless the technology. Let each and every one who is listening hear what they need to hear, receive what they need to receive. In Yeshua's name I pray. Amen. These lessons are proprietary information, except where noted the information comes from outside sources. Combination of that information, the matter presented is exclusive, cannot be repeated or used without permission. The date of this broadcast serves as the registered date of the following information. Open up your Bibles, your apps, however you follow along. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. We've been here for weeks now. We're going to stay here. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus, Yeshua, accursed. And no one can say that Yeshua is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing. Healings, plural, by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit work all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to misunderstand this. I don't want you to be misinformed. What Paul's saying is, don't ignore this. Don't be ignorant because you have an aversion to it, or you're unwilling to listen, you're unwilling to apply. Don't act purposefully ignorant. Ignorance will not be an excuse when you stand before him. There will not be a I didn't know category, because he will play back for you everything you've ever seen, heard, or did, and you'll know when you were told and who told you. You'll know and you'll see when you ignored the information given to you. If there was ever a time that we needed to wake up and pay attention to what the Word has to say to us about these days, about the kingdom of God, about the kingdom of darkness, about who we are, and why we should understand the gifts of the Spirit, it's now, and it's going to become more so in the days ahead. Romans 12, 6 through 8, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. You know, whenever I would sit under Pastor Shelley and he would teach, I would highlight, I would underline, I would take arrows and point to things. That Bible is held together with duct tape and scotch tape, and it's just writings everywhere. And it was that thin tissue paper, so if you got too emphatic in your writing, it tore. But a phrase like, let us use them, I would circle that, or I would highlight that, because none of this has any value if you don't use it. Intellectual knowledge is not going to change people's lives. It's not going to save their souls. It's not going to set them free. Having them gifts differing according to the grace that's given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. If he who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Whatever gifts you've been given by your heavenly Father are to be used in service to his kingdom. They're not for you to profit from. They're not for you to fulfill vainglory with. They are used to serve him in his kingdom. It is deception to think that they are focused inwardly on you for your profit. Our blessings come from serving him. The gift that you are given by the Holy Spirit is an ability. But it doesn't tell you where that ability is to be exercised. If you're a teacher, you can teach anywhere, at any time, in any place. Doesn't matter where you are. It is a part, it is an ability that you can use. If you are a helper, then you can do that anywhere. The gift you've been given is not determined, excuse me, by human reasoning or human descriptions. There are shelves full of books. There are seminars given all the time. Books and DVDs and all these things where people will tell you what your gift is. For $39.95, they'll tell you. The Spirit determines your gift. It doesn't matter whether you're male or female. It doesn't matter whether you're old or young. You are given a gift by the Spirit. And the only restrictions are that you use them according to the Word. There are no age-related gifts. I know some people think, well, my gift is children's ministry. Well, I guess then my gift is adult old people's ministry. Does that even make sense when you say it out loud? No, ministry is ministry. Children, young, old, doesn't matter. We're supposed to teach. We're supposed to help. We're supposed to do all the things the Spirit said do in the way that he said do it. I know some of you think, well, when are you going to get to the specific gift? If you don't understand why the Spirit wants you to have them, if you don't understand how they function in the kingdom, telling you what they are won't mean a thing. You'll actually use them incorrectly. The gift of teaching could be done verbally, could be done in writing, could be done online, could be done in person, but the gift is what? Teaching. How you do it, the technique, and the channels through which they are exercised. Are for the specific gift itself. Well, I have an internet ministry. No, you don't. You have a ministry that, at the moment, is promoted over the internet. Why do we do that? Why do we pigeonhole and specialize? Well, brother, you must have a deliverance ministry. No, I have a Jesus ministry. If he did it, I'd do it. I don't know. I see the labels. I see people promote to this, to that. I'm thinking, why? Why do you need to make yourself specific? I'd rather promote him. I'd rather people see him. He's better than me, that's for sure. And his spiritual gift is not the same as a natural talent. We have confused people with natural talents for having spiritual gifts, and they have kept up the deception for as long as they can, but they almost always get exposed. People are just born with natural talents, teaching, speaking, singing, things like that. And of course, we give all the glory to the Lord, but those gifts may not be spiritual. You know, natural talents come to us through our parents. They're given at birth, and then we use them for either our benefit or the benefit of society. Learned skills we learn in schools, we learn them throughout life, and then they will benefit us or society. Spiritual gifts are completely different. It has nothing to do with who you are, where you're born, who your parents are. It's only due to your Heavenly Father and the Lord and the Holy Spirit. It's given to you when you are born again, and it is for the benefit of the kingdom of God and the church at large. So natural and learned skills are distinctly different than spiritual skills. Now, I'm not saying that they don't sometimes overlap, but we are talking spiritual skills. Let's not get confused. It's also not an office or a ministry. Again, we're into specializing. Well, I have an office of... No, I don't want to know. I don't want to know what your office is. I don't want to know what floor it's on. I don't want to know what kind of view you have. What I want to know is how many people have you gotten saved, healed, and delivered. What I want to know is how much of the Great Commission have you fulfilled? And are you ready for His return? Paul made it very clear that all believers have gifts. Now, I know for some of you that's a struggle. Every one of you has a gift. Every one of you has something the Lord wants you to do, and He usually puts it on your heart right about the time you get saved. And that is the beginning of the development of what He wants to do with you. I don't even want to call it a calling anymore, because callings have become jobs and avocations, and really the only calling we have is to fulfill the Great Commission and go and make disciples of all men. But within that, you have a specific area that He wants you to be assigned to. And that's why Paul spent so much time discussing the gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:11, but the one and same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. He's the one who decides. He's the one who gives. Ephesians 4:11, and He Himself, meaning the Lord, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Who decides whether you are an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher? The Lord does. And He confirms it through signs and wonders. He confirms it through fruit. He does not confirm it through labels given to you and certificates given by a denomination or an organization. If we're going to walk in the Spirit, if we're going to do what we've been talking about now for weeks, we have got to get this laser-like focus that the Spirit ordains and the Lord activates, and it's done by Him and through Him. I cannot tell you how many people I've met in 30 years whose whole spiritual walk has been sidetracked by a false word of prophecy or a false declaration from a supposed leader or visiting speaker. And then for some, it's a quick turnaround. For others, they'll spend years going down the wrong road, frustrated, no fruit, nothing going on in their lives, until one day they wake up and realize that was not a word from God. But I will tell you this, the gift can be limited by your free will. The Lord and the Spirit will give you a gift, but you don't have to use it. You choose to use it. You choose to develop it, and you develop it by using it. But the ultimate source of the gifts is God, The body needs whatever it is you have. We all need whatever it is you have. I will tell you right now, if you have been given the calling to pray, again, I use the word calling, it's ingrained. It's really tough to get away from it. If you have been anointed, if you are a prayer warrior, and I, again, another label, I'm a prayer warrior. Look at the label on my shirt. I got a jersey with my name on the back. No. Are you somebody the Spirit can use to intercede? You are sorely needed. Pastor Shelley and I talked about it. Larry and I talked about it today. Part of the reason many of us on the front lines get worn out is because the aerial support is lacking. And we press on and we keep going. And Larry, if you don't know, my teammate on SRT is a founding member of SEAL Team 6. And he said at the beginning of six, we were running and gunning. We were on the road full time. And then he said, but you have to take breaks. You have to rest so you burn out. We just keep going. We keep doing what we do. We take the confrontations. We go out there. It is refreshing to know that people are praying. You have a gift. Is that your gift? Maybe it's not. Maybe your gift is benevolence. Maybe you're supposed to help people. Maybe you're supposed to deliver food. Maybe you're supposed to do things that help out. Let me back up here. We're just talking. We're back to doing that. One of the things I have found is the other reason there's so much burnout in the body is because there are so many people doing more than what they're called to do. And they see a need, they see it not being filled, so they step up and do it. And then before you know it, they're burned out. And some of them never recover. They never return back to service. Ministering to the homeless is one of those things. It'll burn you out financially, emotionally, spiritually, all those areas that are so necessary. We need to minister to one another. We need to minister to this lost world. And we shouldn't assume that the local church has all the spiritual gifts represented in that congregation. The local congregation, the local fellowship, the local body, whatever you want to call it, may have a specific area that they are called to. The Lord decides, the Spirit confirms. Ephesians 2, starting verse 18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach himself, being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Everyone, you, me, everyone that has been reconciled to their Abba Father has access to him. There's no special passes. There's no special memberships. If you've been restored, you've been released to go to enter the throne room. Ephesians 1:5, having predestined us to adoption as sons and daughters, I'll add that, by Jesus the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Galatians 4:5-7, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father, Papa God, Daddy. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Messiah. Romans 8, starting verse 14, for as many as led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. But you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Messiah, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present age are not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. Hebrews 4, starting verse 15, this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our glorious God, that there we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. You have access to the throne, and it's been obtained for you by the cross. The cross was the key to the door that gave us entrance. No one person is more special than another. God is not a respecter of person. The only thing I see him respect is relationship. Those that want more of him get more of him. But everybody has access. That access is the privilege of entrance in the Greek. It means being brought into the presence of, the freedom to go in. We have boldness and we have access with confidence through faith in him, Ephesians 3:12, Romans 5:2, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So you, if you're on the outside, you're there by choice. And this is different. You know the Old Testament songs of, enter the Holy of Holies. I'm in the outer court. I want to come in. That doesn't apply anymore. You have access to God. You have access to the throne. You have access to the Holy of Holies. You can boldly approach that throne of grace and mercy, crying out, Abba, Father, Papa, God, Daddy, because you've been born again. You've been marked by the blood. You've been filled with the Spirit that allows you to do that. Stop thinking external. Start thinking internal. According to Vine's Expository Dictionary of Old Testament and New Testament words, that Greek word for access involves the acceptance which we have in Messiah with God, and the privilege of his favor towards us. You want to glory in anything? Glory in the fact that you know him. Glory in the fact that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you have access. You have been restored. You've been reconciled. When you get this, when you begin to understand this, when the light bulb moment happens and you grab a hold of it, your life will change, your walk will change, your understanding of the word, your understanding of him will change. There'll be no hindrances. There'll be nothing holding you back. He's the foundation upon which everything is built, including our understanding of him. It's the foundation on which we build what we do. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, 1 Corinthians 3:11. That's why he's the cornerstone of this temple that we are. I don't know about you, but that excites me. That excites me that he wants to put his Spirit inside of me. He wants to give me the creative power of the universe to use in his name, to trust me with it. I wouldn't trust me with it. As I've said many times in my testimony and here on the porch, I wouldn't have saved me. I would have hit me with a lightning bolt from a distance. But grace and mercy and love saved me. He had a plan for me. My whole life, the enemy had a plan, but my Heavenly Father had a better plan. And every time it looked like the enemy had finally gotten me, a way out would come and he would pull me to safety. He would create a path that would take me off that path to another path. And before the enemy knew it, the Father had undone their work, had undone their efforts. That's the God you serve. That's the God that loves you. But we cannot understand the gifts. We can't understand their function until we understand Him. Let me say that again. If you don't remember anything else I say tonight, listen to this. You cannot understand the gifts, and you cannot understand how they function unless you understand Him. Everything in the kingdom of God is built upon Him and around Him. If He's not in it, it's not of the kingdom of God. See, the apostles and the prophets, they were a part of the foundation of who we are. But they weren't the foundation. They were not the cornerstone. They didn't hold it all together. They were part of the temple that we are and the habitation of God through the Holy Spirit. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he who believes on him will by no means put to shame. That's 1 Peter 2:6. Acts 4:11, this is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Psalm 118:22, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Everything is about the Lord. Everything is by the Lord. Everything should be about Him. It shouldn't be about a denomination. Shouldn't be about a preacher, a teacher, a saint. Shouldn't be about anyone but the one who hung on the cross, the one who was lifted up. And we have been fitted. We've been framed together harmoniously in agreement, in unity, in what's the word I'm looking for? It's like when you strike the guitar strings and the chord has been hit perfectly and that resonance that is so wonderful and pleasing. But when it's not, oh, it makes you grit your teeth and cringe. Right now, a lot of the church, what we call church, makes me cringe. We should be knitted together. We should be effective. We should be working effectively in sharing and loving and edifying each other in love. That's what Ephesians 4:16 tells me. I think the reason the enemy has been so effective is because he has tricked us into being ineffective. He has tricked us to not being in unity, not being in harmony. He's gotten us fixated on specific beliefs or lack of beliefs or a revelation someone has had. Let's build a whole denomination around that revelation. Let's not and say we did. We should be growing continually. And the temple should be expanding. Every time there's a new convert, the temple should be expanding. This is the one building project I will get behind. The temple of the living God. Each and every one of us. Each and every one of you. I don't care what your education level is. I don't care what your emotional level is. I have a problem if you're incredibly immature, but we'll deal with that. But you're called. You're a part of the temple. You're part. You're built around Him. If we could just get this right. If we could just get this right. And I believe we're going to. I believe that there are people, and I'm meeting new people every day and talking to new people every day. They don't know what it is that they don't know, but they also know that there's something they're missing. And then when you begin to fill in the gaps, when you begin to give them revelation the Lord shared with you, and they, hey, I see that. I get that. Well, that explains this, and that hooks to this, and the next thing you know, they're on that revelation explosion, and something begins to resonate inside of them, and they want to get out there, they want to go, they want to do, they want to tell somebody. We are reflections of Him. which means we have to act like him, which means we have to understand how the Spirit works and be in union with him and with one another. Because if you're not in union with him, there's someone else you're going to be in union with. Luke 22:3 gives us the example. When Satan entered Judas, surnamed Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12, suddenly Satan's plans became Judas's plans without him realizing it. Didn't work out very well for him. Sad thing is, he didn't have to hang himself. If he had just repented, he'd have been forgiven. Do you know him? Do you know the Lord? If he does, if you do, he dwells in you. And he does it by the Holy Spirit. You're not alone. If the Holy Spirit dwells in you, his fruit and his gifts are available to you, and they should be evident. So although the Holy Spirit is the source of spiritual gifts, we are a part of the development of those gifts. That's that free will. We are the ones that have to, through prayer and through study and through being available to be used, even to make mistakes. That's how it happens. If you had told me this when I was first saved and running and gunning for the Lord, moving in gifts that I did not understand, I would have, not me. I don't need that. 30 years later, I get it. I get where the maturity comes from. It comes from the mistakes. It comes from time. It comes from all the things that you learn along the way. But it doesn't mean you shouldn't try. It doesn't mean you shouldn't even fail. Just get up, repent, go on, let the Spirit correct you. But desiring better gifts is not a matter of sitting down and conjuring it up through faith or through some false teaching. Well, if you just do this 47 times a day over the next 6 weeks, no, 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 no. It's about prayer. It's about study. It's about self-preparation. It's about spending time with him. It's about going out and applying and doing. If you look at the gospel, you look at the apostles, we have some great examples of men who failed miserably in the beginning. But he sent them anyway, knowing full well that they would. And they learned along the way. They learned by their own tremendous failures. Because the Holy Spirit is sovereign in the gifts that he dispenses, in the gifts that he oversees. But we are sovereign in their development. We've got desires, we've got limitations, we've got ambitions, sometimes selfish ones. Then we should also discipline ourselves. That's where the fruit of the Spirit, self-control, comes in. That's where love comes in. If you love the Lord, if you love others, you're not going to want to do what some people do. There are two extremes to what I'm talking about in approaching spiritual gifts. It's that pendulum thing. One extreme is the pendulum swings in one direction, that the spiritual gifts were given to the early church only, and they stopped when the last apostle died, and they're irrelevant to the church today. We are the church of the chosen frozen. No, that's not it. That's not it. But they tell you, no, it is it. Paul said that in that one little scripture that we take out of context to explain why we don't move in the gifts. All you need is spiritual maturity. You don't have to have the gifts anymore. They're not necessary. Even though that the Book of Acts church considered and did them for about 300 more years after the foundation of the church. They still moved in the gifts. They still had all the gifts. faith is a gift. You tell me the gifts are gone because you want to explain why you don't speak in tongues or can't interpret tongues and you don't heal anybody when you pray for them. But faith is a gift. You tell me the Spirit stopped working? No, that's not true. Paul makes it real clear in Ephesians 4:11 through 13 that the gifts are for the equipping of the saints for the work of service and the building up the body of Messiah. Well, how did the body keep growing? It wasn't until the Council of Nicaea that everything got shut down. So from the crucifixion to the resurrection to the upper room to 323 AD, how did all that continue if they all stopped when the last apostle died? Well, how did they keep getting deacons and elders? Because according to 1 Timothy 3:2, a bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, and able to teach. Well, if he's able to teach, that means the gift of teaching is still evident, still given by the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm sorry, that's not going to work. And here's the other pendulum. Now let's swing it in the other direction, where you can't do anything until you know your spiritual gift for the Lord. Well, that's not true. We saw with the apostles and the disciples, they got sent out immediately. You know what? They weren't even born again and they were casting out demons. If you really read the word and look closely at the word says, you can knock those arguments out pretty quickly. And that pendulum, when it swings in that direction, everything's about the gifts. Are you born again with the evidence of speaking in tongues? Well, I am born again. For me, it took a little while from the time that I got born again until tongues manifested and all those other things manifested. The Spirit gives as He wills. He will do as He wills when He wants to do it. Let's bring that pendulum right to the middle. And let's decide we're going to do what the Word says. We're going to believe the Word. And this thing about you can't do anything unless you know what your gifts are, go with me to Acts chapter 6. We're still working on understanding the gifts. First one, here's where it starts. Now in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because the widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." That right there is the life I want to live. So the qualifications were they had to be male, of good reputation, spirit-filled, and wise. Full of the Spirit and wisdom. And in the process of serving, their spiritual gifts came to light. Their gifts were discovered in service to the kingdom of God. Well, how do I know that? How do I know that when the door of opportunity opened to these men chosen to do what they did, their gifts would be revealed to them? Well, because of one named Philip, Acts 21:8. Paul and his companions departed, came to Caesarea, entered the house of Philip, the evangelist, who was one of the 7, and stayed with him. We see in Acts 6:5 that Philip was one of the 7. They chose Stephen, that's the one who was martyred, man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. They were good reputation. They alleviated the burden from the apostles. And Philip became what? An evangelist. Acts 8:5, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Messiah to them. Acts 8:35, Philip opened his mouth, beginning at the scripture, preached Yeshua to them. Stephen, same thing. Served the widows, became an evangelist. Of course, in his case, it cost him his life. But in the process of costing his life, it put Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, where he could encounter the Lord and become Paul. Many members in the body, but we all don't have the same function. We are all one body of Messiah, but individual of one another. So then, whatever gift we've been given, let's use it. Let us prophesy in proportion to our faith or ministry. Let us use it in our ministering. In teaching, who teaches, teaches. If you exhort, in exhortation. If giving, do it with liberality. If you're called to lead, do it with diligence. If you're called to show mercy, be cheerful about it. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in the Spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, and distributing to the needs of the saints, and being given to hospitality. I think some of you don't know what you are called to do for the Lord because you're not out there doing anything. You're sitting at home waiting for the Spirit to tell you. Or you're going to this seminar, or you're going to this church, or you're going to that person. Just go out and do it. Go minister the homeless. Go visit the people in the hospitals or the old age homes. Or whatever the Lord puts upon your heart, just go do it. Isn't that what Nike says? Do it. Nike, by the way, was a goddess. Now it's a sneaker. Just do it. What do you want to do? Do it. But I'm going to fail. Do it anyway. I don't know what I'm doing. Go learn. Trust him. Just think about how effective we would be if we just did it. I think I'll put that on a shirt. Just do it. I've got, like, another page. I'm not sure I want to keep going. I really feel the need to pray for you. I'm praying right now for whoever's listening and receiving to this. For the manifestation of the Holy Spirit given to you to profit for the family of God, the kingdom of God. I'm praying that one of you is going to be given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith. And I'm praying supernatural faith. I'm praying the kind of faith that when you pray, your faith moves mountains, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another one of you the working of miracles, to another prophecy, the discerning of spirits, different kinds of tongues, the interpretation of tongues. But the one Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, the one who emanates from the Father, sent to us when the Lord sat down at the right hand of the Father, risen from the grave, he will work all these things, distributing to each one of us individually as he wills. So we're going to serve one another. We're going to exhort and encourage one another. We're going to take care of one another. We're going to give when giving is needed. We're going to teach as we can teach. Well, I can't get up in front of a crowd and do what you do. You're not called to, but you can sit down with somebody and open up a Bible or open up one of those good news things or open up a pamphlet or just bring some of your own notes with you. Talk about the Lord. You're going to be kind. You're going to be merciful. You're going to have faith. You're going to walk in faith. And you're going to be a witness. a living, walking, living, breathing witness to the reality of the person of Jesus of Nazareth, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And you're going to walk in the Spirit like you've never walked before. And you're going to do it now. Not tomorrow, not next year, not a New Year's resolution. The fire of the Holy Spirit is available to you right now. This moment is your upper room moment. That Spirit that's inside of you, when you got born again, it needs to be fired up. It needs to be turned loose. Stop thinking you're a failure. Stop thinking you can't be trusted. I pray that the love of the Lord would fill your heart for the lost, that you would have compassion, you would have patience, you would see them with eyes of mercy instead of judgment and criticism, instead of fear because you don't understand. Father, I just pray for your sons and your daughters, as well as myself right now. I pray that we would understand you. And understand the Spirit and what He desires to do for us and with us. I pray that we would speak even if our voice shakes and our knees knock. And that we would believe. And Lord, I pray that even if we can't stay on our feet, we'll land on our knees. I'm praying right now for those that have no faith, have no hope. They've been beaten down. They've been verbally and emotionally abused. They've been told they can't, and I say you can in Yeshua's name. I say you can and you will. I say that the enemy has come against you one way, it's going to flee seven. I pray that you're going to have faith, that the wind of the Spirit is blowing through you right now, and that everything of the kingdom of darkness, every lie, every sludge, every false teaching that you have mistakenly received and taken in will be purged from you by the fire and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. And I thank you, Father. I thank you for what you're doing in us. I thank that you're raising us up. I thank you that you're releasing the flood of your blessings into our hands, into our lives, so that we can go and do what you called us to do. And that at some point in the midst of it all, the sky's going to split. We're going to see you face to face. And it will be well done. And I just pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, give you shalom. I'm Richard Grund. This has been The Porch on Firefall Talk Radio.